Well, greetings in Jesus, and welcome to Highways and Byways for the second quarter of 2011. I open up pretty much every edition of this CD audio magazine with that greeting. I want you to know that it's always genuine. We've been doing this outreach project since 2004, and the goal is always the same: to bring a little comfort, a little teaching, a little music, maybe some comedy, a little connectivity between world events and Bible prophecy. We really do try to offer at least something for everybody. We try to wrap it all up in about 70 to 75 minutes or so, and we like to call it Church Out of the Box. Now, I don't know how this quarter's release made its way to you. We have some distribution points and a few select truck stops. We have a mailing list that folks can call into to be added. That number's on the front of the CD, by the way. So if you have this Highways and Byways release in CD form, you have the number. And if you're among the growing list of folks that download from iTunes or mypodcast.com, then you already know that we've posted a fair collection of past Highways and Byways productions that are there for free for the downloading. I'll give you the phone number here just in case you want to call the voicemail line. It's a toll-free 24-hour voicemail line. You can leave spiritual or Bible-related questions, suggestions for new programs, short testimonies, that type of thing. 1-800-421-3148. I'll give that again. 1-800-421-3148. You can also get that information off the website, which is www.highwaymag.com. That's highwaymag.com. Well, now, we've had some feedback concerning the fact that while the CD comes in a track format, the online version is a continuous 70 or 75-minute file. And I'd love to find a solution, but we're going to need to call upon someone out there who listens to Highways and Byways and has the technical skills to help us figure out something for our online listeners who want to burn it to a CD. You see, I'm not a real techno geek. I just play one every quarter when we put this project together. The rest of the time, I drive a truck during the best part of the week and pastor a small country church here in the mountains of Sullivan County, PA. Time for me is just as it is for you then, precious and seemingly ever shorter. And that brings me to the mind of a passage from the Gospel of Matthew. It says there that, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days should be shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Well, I don't think we're directly in those times where he's shortening the time in that specific sense. But our God remains in control of time. While it is true that only our Heavenly Father knows the day and the exact hour of Christ's return, He has provided us with some clear, specific signs that allow us to know that the overall season leading us to that great and glorious day of Jesus' return is very close at hand. Well, great and glorious if you're prepared, but probably not so much if you've not come to that place of peace in your heart concerning your relationship with Him. I know, I get it. You've heard it all before, right? Well, I'll tell you what. Stick with us here for a while and see if our idea of Church Out of the Box might approach things from a view that you can identify with. Lord knows we ruffle some feathers along the way with some of the closed-minded hardline denominations and even some other trucking ministries, but we're not trying to offend anybody. We just walk in a freedom in Christ that allows us to listen to good Christian music with a beat or a twang, or maybe with a mood and a groove. Who knows? If it's glorifying God, that's all that matters. We see a great need for the good medicine of laughter through clean, wholesome comedy, including the ability to laugh at ourselves at times. We aren't nearly as concerned with arguing doctrinal position as we are about agreeing on the basic tenets of Christianity. We firmly embrace the Apostles' Creed. And we maintain that keeping our eyes fixed on those things will keep us from becoming distracted with theological arguments that the greatest minds of theological thought and study have never been able to agree upon. We do, of course, have our own doctrinal positions on such things, but that's not what Highways and Byways is about. We just want to be a blessing to as many folks as we're able to with a variety of approaches. So let me wrap up this longer than usual introduction by saying that we've inserted tracks for each segment so that if you come across a song or some other segment that just makes you crazy or that you find to be outside of your comfort zone, you can just reach out and touch that track button or fast forward for our online listeners and find the place where you can agree with us. That is part of true Christianity, my friends. Setting the focus upon what we can agree upon and working from a place of love to work out the rest. Whew! I haven't done such a long opening monologue for a long time. Maybe years. Well, here we go. Talk, music, humor, end time updates, a road sign segment, and all of it comes up next, just as soon as I close my yapper and the next track starts. I am so very delighted that this second quarter Highways and Byways has found its way to you. It is my sincere desire for this to be a genuine comfort and blessing.
Now, Mr. Smith, if you take away all the witnesses and the murder weapon with my client's fingerprints, there really is no evidence. Is that not true?
Well, there's the written confession.
Okay, other than that, too.
I guess without all that evidence, there is no case.
Thank you, Your Honor. I rest my case.
That's it? Are you sure you don't need to defend me a little more?
Oh, trust me. This case is in the bag.
If there are no closing arguments, we'll excuse the jury for deliberation.
Your Honor, I speak for the rest of the jury. He's guilty of sin.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Uh-huh.
Very well. This court finds Mr. Winkelmeyer guilty and sentenced to life in prison.
Oh, that is so not good.
Well, bummer for you. You'll get my bill in the morning.
God will eventually be your judge. Are you prepared? The Bible says that Jesus speaks to the Father in our defense. Are you trusting Jesus with where you'll spend eternity? Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
Everything that makes you weary, for all the things you hold inside, for every darkened day that's dreary, for all the things you must confide, that's what my love for you is for. That's what my love for you is for. You'll always find an open door. That's what my love for you is for. Anything that's on your mind, for all the things that bring you down, you should know that any time you call on me, I'll be around. That's what my love for you is for. That's what my love for you is for. You'll always find an open door. That's what my love for you is for. What's the use in saying I love you if our lives are not entwined? Holding on to you when you're not able to,
That's a weapon my love is for. I'll help your spirit soar. For every day that makes you sing, for all the hopes and dreams you dare, for every little kind of thing, I want to be the one to share. That's what my love for you is for. That's what my love for you is for. You'll always find an open door. That's what my love for you is for. Cause what's the use in saying I love you if our lives are not entwined? Holding on to you not able to, but I'll help you rise above, and you know that I am
started.
How's the bug out of his dick to the armpit? He stinks.
It's organic.
It's not funny. Why doesn't he use a deodorant?
I don't like deodorants. They're all so sticky and gooey.
Oh, come on, Nose. Just sit down and stop acting so snooty.
Benny Boone, if you don't behave yourself,
easy, Nose, you're gonna blow it.
Now that stinks.
Human brain, why can't one of the fingers sit over here?
We want to sit down.
Now that's not fair. Why can't one of you guys sit over here just once?
Ah, come on. If you sat over there, you'd stick out like a sore thumb. Knucklehead.
Be a blue one.
Mr. Chairman, they're picking on me again.
Just poking a little fun, Chief.
Yeah,
well, that's about all you guys can do is poke.
Honey Bone, you're out of order.
From the looks of things, you're fresh out, too.
That's enough. Honey Bone, shut up. And Nose, you sit down. We've got business. Now, if everyone will sit still for a moment, we can get started. I called this meeting to see if we can stop all this petty bickering between ourselves. It simply won't do. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's real easy for you to say. Flowery talk comes cheap way up there on the shoulder. Yeah. Giving all the orders and getting all the credit. Well, why don't you come down here and spend a little time in those leather saunas you call fuse and let me run things a while?
Hey, you run? Hey, you'd be a real lame brain.
Pretty cute, Funny Bone. You got a big kick out of your stupid jokes, huh? Well, you just wait till I get a hold of you, buddy.
Gentlemen, we're not getting anywhere this way.
What do you mean? I think Quint's doing a pretty good job of getting things set.
Stomach, now you're out of order.
I've been telling you that for weeks. What's going on in that head of yours? The eyes are bigger than I am. Just how many chocolate malts are enough? 3? 4? Last week it was 6.
Well, don't come to me with your belly aching. That's the mouse problem.
I've got a real sweet tooth.
You mean we still have some teeth up there? Just what are they doing? You wouldn't believe some of the stuff that makes its way down here. After yesterday's lunch, we got a whole plum. Pit and all!
Well, haven't you heard? We're on strike. The conditions up here are terrible. The gums are rotting, decay is on the rampage, and we're under heavy canker attack. We need reinforcements.
Everyone sit down and shut up. This kind of arguing and squabbling is the very problem we're trying to solve.
May I say something?
Go ahead, Hart.
Thank you. All of us know we have our share of problems, but this kind of arguing isn't going to accomplish anything. Now, God has given us all special abilities to do different things. Look around. We have many parts, but we all make up one body. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not the eye, well, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And what if the whole body were an eye? How would we blink? Yeah. Well, it all sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? Because we are many parts in one body, and because we're all the same body, we must work together. We need each other. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you.
Right on, Pumpa.
Nor the feet to the head.
Touche.
Why, some of the parts that seem the weakest and least important are really the most necessary.
Well said.
Gentlemen, if one part suffers, we all suffer. Our present situation is proof enough of that. But if one part is honored, so are we all. Think about it. What have we got to lose?
Chairman Brain.
Eyeballs.
We see what Hart's getting at, and we agree.
How about a vote of confidence? All in favor?
Looks like the eyes have it. This calls for a celebration. How about a candy bar?
Nothing doing.
Just kidding.
We'll leave the jokes to Funny Bone, huh?
Yeah, he never does anything.
Now, what if I'd have made a pun like that? You'd have walked out.
Oh, that's okay. I've got it stepped up anyway.
Well, there's a signal, everyone. He's waking up. Now, let's get back to our stations and see if we can make this the strong body we all want to be.
There is literally too much going on in the world right now to do a general end time update. I'm thinking that we'll probably be having more than one this time around, because there are some serious biblically connected matters taking place that we need to look at. I tell you, the potential for the Gog-Magog war draws closer and closer. It's almost becoming a daily reminder with the events that are unfolding in the Middle East. But where I want to take us first, to take a look at where we've arrived and where we're going with the whole Big Brother thing. Now, despite the cliche from the 60s being used to death, it remains perhaps the most recognizable phrase that people identify with when it comes to government surveillance and the never-ending attack upon our personal privacies. Well, we start with a twist on the old phrase, Big Brother, and try to embrace the current replacement term, Big Sis. That's right, from the DHS. That's the Department of Homeland Security. The nose of DHS chief, Janet Napolitano, has been showing up in some places that should be making the American people say, get your nose out of my life and take your cameras with you. I believe that I may have touched on this in the first quarter of 2011. I'll just recap the basics and give you the first two paragraphs from the December 2010 announcement. Here it is. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano today announced the expansion of the department's national If You See Something, Say Something campaign to hundreds of Walmart stores across the country, launching a new partnership between DHS and Walmart to help the American people play an active role in ensuring the safety and security of our nation. Homeland security starts with hometown security, and each one of us plays a critical role in keeping our country and communities safe, said Secretary Napolitano. I applaud Walmart for joining the If You See Something, Say Something campaign. This partnership will help millions of shoppers across the nation identify and report indicators of terrorism, crime, and other threats to law enforcement authorities. Folks, Walmart has allowed these reporting stations in close to 600 stores that we know of throughout 27 states. 588 was the last count that I saw. To date, no terrorists have been sighted at Walmart, but they did manage to arrest a man that was reported to be sitting in his gun with a truck. Except after pulling him out of his truck and arresting him, they discovered that he was sitting in his truck talking on his cell phone. The police responded to control the scene and ordered a lockdown of the store inside and to keep shoppers from going in. The If You See Something, Say Something campaign has businesses from Minnesota to New York and New Jersey involved. Participating partners include the Mall of America, the American Hotel and Lodging Association. Amtrak is involved, including the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, then in New York as well, sports and general aviation industries, and state and local fusion centers across the country. So, what's a fusion center? Hey, you know what? That's a very good question, and I'm glad you asked. A fusion center is what they call a collaborative effort of two or more agencies that provide resources, expertise, and information to the center with the goal of maximizing their ability to detect, prevent, investigate, and respond to criminal and terrorist activity. Now, these fusion centers are located in states and major urban areas throughout the country, owned and operated by state and local entities. Don't you feel so much safer now, knowing that your tax dollars not only go to collect and disperse data on potential terrorists, but on private citizens as well? Then there was the If You See Something, Say Something program that the NFL and the owner of the Dallas Cowboys' new stadium in Arlington, Texas, went along with. Every face that entered the stadium on Super Bowl Sunday went into a database. They claimed that they were looking for potential terrorists. Oh, they also showed up at the NCAA Final Four basketball tournament. Because we all know terrorists have no interest in that silly NIT Invitational College tourney that also draws tens and tens of thousands of fans. Now, these terrorists are genuine purists through and through. No second-class NIT tournament for them. They would only go to the NCAA tourney. I mean, they may be idiots when it comes to understanding their own holy book, but these radical Islamists, they know their American football and basketball, let me tell you. I guess it makes sense. It must be that all radical Muslims make it a point to never miss a Super Bowl, right? This must be some secret intel that the Department of Homeland Security has managed to compile. We normal working class folks could never process such a thing. It's better to keep these deep, dark secrets in the government's hands, I suppose. I'm not convinced that monitoring private citizens at sporting events or at Walmarts really falls into a job category that the government should be doing. But I'm convinced that the current administration could care less about what the majority of Americans think and feel about these things. Hey, just before we get out of this segment, let me throw a few other private sector and government-sponsored surveillance projects out there for you to consider. Apple tracks you on your iPhone. Reuters released a story about researchers Alistair Allen and Pete Warden who revealed that the iPhone was storing logs of users' geographic coordinates in a hidden file on each phone that could be accessed remotely. Sometime later, it was reported that Steve Jobs, the owner of Apple, said, "No, we're not tracking you, but Android and Windows phones are." That makes me think of that old standby, "I know you are, but what am I?" Good grief. Oh yeah, I believe you're not just because you've pointed out some others that are tracking us. Well, out of the private sector and into the small village community of Kings Point. They've been putting in an extensive network of security cameras that scan license plates. The village has 5,000 residents, and the plan calls for 44 cameras installed at the village's 19 entrances. So that's one camera for about every 120 people. The system runs the license plate scan through criminal databases, and if a match is found, it immediately notifies the police. So the police are using mobile units in their patrol cars. One resident said, "There are cameras on almost every intersection now. It's the harsh reality of today's world." Then we have something that I remember from my childhood. I remember the good old days when we'd be like laying on the grass at the park and we'd look up and see what kind of pictures the clouds were making. You know, "Ooh, look, there's a dog." And your friend would say, "Where?" And you'd say, "Right there, see? There's the nose and there's the tail. See it?" And then your friend would say something like, "Nah, that's a race car. You see the front there and the back right there?" We never quite did see or agree upon what the other one was seeing. Until one of those predator drones would fly overhead, taking surveillance pictures of all us private citizens. Boy, oh boy, those were the days. Oh, wait. They didn't have predator drones flying over the sovereign United States and its citizens in the 50s and the early 60s. I guess I just got confused with last week. Now, the Miami-Dade Police Department purchased a drone named T-Hawk from defense firm Honeywell to assist with the department's Special Response Team's operations. Sounds nice. Well, it's a 20-pound drone. It can fly for 40 minutes and goes up as high as 10,500 feet at 46 miles an hour. Police admit that if it's flown low enough, it has the ability to look into people's homes. But we are assured that this is not the intended purpose. And I would have been really, really worried about the potential for being spied upon if it were not for those reassuring words from Miami-Dade Police Director James Loftus. He said, as he comforted us all, I'm sure, "It gives us a good opportunity to have an eye up there. Not a surveilling eye, not a spying eye. Let's make the distinction. It's just a surveilling eye to help us do the things we need to do honestly to keep people safe." Oh, that's what they call it, keeping us safe. That's almost as good as, "I know you are, but what am I?" You know, the drone surveillance idea is not limited to Florida. Indiana, Nevada, Texas, and North Carolina have joined the bandwagon despite attempts to keep the information about this very low key. I'm just going to throw out a silly little question here. Does anybody on the planet believe that outside of maybe in the land of the Eskimos, there are probably drones watching private citizens in a lot of places that we're presently clueless about? Now, you can't accuse me of conspiracy theories when states are starting to pop up where this technology has been discovered. While we tolerate the growing number of government surveillance systems being put into place in our communities, one must understand the need to have a central location to store cyber information. So, ground broke on the construction of a $1.5 billion, with a B, National Security Agency data center in Utah. Now we have a new location on the way to store data. And that's exactly what the government's stated purpose was for this center, a really big place to store a really huge amount of information. You know, as the years have gone by, we go to work, we pay our taxes, we continue to put the same politicians back into office, and then we wonder why these things have managed to slowly creep into our lives. Some would say that we need term limits for political office, but they're never going to make laws that put themselves out of office. We can create term limits if we would not only wake up and smell the coffee as a nation of free people, but go out when the polls open up in November of 2012 and create those term limits ourselves. Until that day comes, we're going to continue to see increased government controls and surveillance of private citizens in the name of protecting us. And places like this huge information storage facility in Utah will be built and put into operation. It's not the beast, and it's not the place where the mark of the beast is ultimately distributed. But some place like this will be the place that monitors all of it when the day comes that humans come face to face with the reality of Revelation 13.
And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.
In a moment, we're going to hear from Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. As usual, he lays out a compelling amount of common sense that challenges a person to think for themselves when it comes to what secular scientists try to pass off as fact. It isn't enough to simply say that we embrace God's creation account as truth. We need these reminders about what we're up against and how to deal with it. Sure, it fortifies our own faith in the Bible and the way that things came into existence, but there are several generations of young people, and now not so young as the years have passed, that just buy into non-believing scientists' presentations and theories. The problem is that, as the years continue, it is passing the issue of our own children being indoctrinated with misinformation, and it's now our grandchildren and their very souls that are at stake. This is not, in my opinion, a doctrinal matter that we should avoid confronting. You can avoid arguing things like pre-tribulation rapture as opposed to post-tribulation rapture. We can all still agree that Jesus is indeed returning for his bride, the church. One can reject getting bogged down in whether a person can lose their salvation if they fail to continue in following Jesus, or whether a person can never lose their salvation. Yet, we can still agree that a person needs to bear fruit in their life that demonstrates there's been a genuine, life-changing, soul-saving kind of salvation. What we cannot fail to stand firm upon is the Bible's account of creation by the spoken word and power of the triune God. In fact, all three persons of the Godhead are clearly manifest in the creation account. If we don't take the time to equip ourselves with a thorough understanding of not only what you believe from God's word, but what secular science teaches, then you're never going to be able to help your children, your grandchildren, or anybody else for that matter, to understand that there are serious problems with this entire theory of evolution. I say it quite often, and I'll continue to say it as long as I draw breath on earth. It requires nothing less than genuine faith to embrace the notion of evolution. So, if we're accused of holding to a religious belief system concerning God's creation, then evolution, with all of its missing links and false presentations of creatures that are constructed from partial skeletons, they must also acknowledge that they exercise a religious faith in the claims that they make. Well, here's Ken Ham with some of that thorough understanding we all need more of.
Evolution, the information just isn't there. Answers with Ken Ham, a popular speaker and author on the book of Genesis. Did you know that life is really built on information? For instance, in our cells, the blueprint of our body is contained in that molecule of heredity called DNA. Now, for life to evolve, somehow there has to be a mechanism for all the information to arise by random processes. But at this point, evolutionary scientists have a real roadblock. Dr. Werner Gitt, a professor of information systems from Germany, states, quote, "There is no known law of nature, no known process and no known sequence of events which can cause information to originate by itself in matter," end of quote. Now, here's a scientist, who's a creationist, using real observational science to say that there's no way life could evolve by random processes and there's no mechanism for this. You know, the exciting thing about being a Christian is that real science, used in the present, yields evidence that fits exactly with the Bible, and infinite intelligence provided the information necessary for life. I want you to listen carefully to some quotes taken from a book produced by the National Academy of Sciences. Now, this was sent to teachers across America, and this book tells instructors to teach evolution as fact and not let students even question whether it could be true or not. At the beginning of this book, we read, quote, "Many public school students receive little or no exposure to the theory of evolution," end of quote. Now, anyone who has seen public school textbooks knows this is not true. These textbooks are full of evolutionary teaching. And here's another quote. "Teachers are reluctant to teach evolution because of pressures from special interest groups." You know, this boggles my mind. The truth is that most teachers are reluctant to even mention creation because of lawsuits threatened by humanists. Evolutionists aren't able to combat the logic and science of the Bible, so they resort to heavy-handed tactics to get public schools to teach evolution as fact more than ever before. Evolutionists from a prestigious organization, sanctioned by the U.S. government, sent a horrible pro-evolution book to schools across the nation. It was an attempt to influence teachers and school boards to teach only evolution in science classes. On page 18, for instance, teachers are shown pictures of how whales supposedly evolved. One picture is of a creature called Ambulocetus, supposedly part land animal and part sea creature, an in-between form. But you know what the teachers aren't told?
This picture is based on a reconstruction of an animal from less than 50% of the skeleton. It had vital parts missing, parts that would tell us what it really was. This certainly tells you the sorry state of evolutionary ideas when evolutionists have to resort to such storytelling to sell their religion. It seems they'll stop at nothing to oppose the Bible. You know, we need to get the truth to our children.
We expose many of the tactics of evolutionists in our family magazine called Answers. For a sample issue, call and make a donation of any size over the phone. Toll free 1-888-89-ANSWERS. We'll also send you information on the full-scale Noah's Ark we're building in Northern Kentucky. Well, for the sample issue of Answers magazine, call 24 hours a day, 888-89-ANSWERS, or go to our website of answersoffer.org.
Okay, Mr. Crown, come on over here.
Yeah, there call me Hudo.
No, that's fine, Hudo. Yeah, okay, just stand right here. You don't have to do anything.
Okay.
They'll take care of the rest, all right?
Thank you. Good.
Mitch, we ready to go down there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. We're going to cue the tape. Have Mr. Crunk there stand up. Look in the camera,
Hudo.
Please.
Right. I mean, Hudo. Mm-hmm.
And now, speaking in reply to an editorial broadcast last week on this station, is Mr. Hudo Crunk. Mr. Crunk.
Thank you. Last week, this station had the unmitigated gall to broadcast their belief in Jesus Christ and his soon return. Now, I was born in the United States, and I've been to church, so I like to think of myself as a Christian. But I find it hard to believe that this is, as this station puts it, the final days. In fact, I find a lot of what the Christians are saying today hard to believe. Take, for instance, evolution. Christians are saying that God made man out of dirt. Come on, now, I find it hard to believe I'm nothing more than a big mud pie, you know? On the other hand, I have no trouble whatsoever believing that many of my relatives are monkeys, and I'm sure most of you would agree with me. And what about astrology? You know, they say you can't even rely on your horoscope anymore. Now, I don't see anything wrong with it. Of course, I don't believe in astrology, but then again, I'm a Sagittarius, and we're naturally skeptical anyway. But what really gets me upset, you know, kind of gets me sweaty behind the collar, is this thing they're calling the rapture, or rapture, you know, where Jesus calls all the Christians to fly to heaven. And what's more, they say that it could happen at any time, hottie, ha-ha-ha. Come on, can you imagine that? Thousands of Christians flying around the sky. Ridiculous. And how will you know which ones to take? Yeah. You know, with Christians saying things like this, it's no wonder most of the folks in our community don't even go to church. Now look, we all know if you want someone to agree with you gotta tell them something they can believe. So let's stop all this science fiction jazz and get back to preaching the golden rule and church potlucks, you know? And the next time you hear someone talking about Jesus coming back sooner, this rapture thing, you know, you tell them you won't believe it till you see it. Thank you. Guys? Hey, I'm done. Hey, you know Elfine? Hey, guys?
Down in the road, there's a turn in its place. Rust the tune. Just remember that the road of God is straight, and He will lead you through.
Men at work. Pretty much anywhere you see one of those construction cones, signs telling you to slow down in the construction zone ahead, you're bound to see one of these familiar men at work signs too. Nowadays, we all know that means women at work too. It's just a commonly accepted generic term, men at work. Well, man or woman, there sure are plenty of folks out there in the work zones. Whether they're holding a sign to slow us down or running some machine that hopefully makes the road we travel a little better. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking there's probably some really decent, conscientious people out there working on the highways and the byways. They probably believe in, oh, I don't know, giving a fair day's work for a fair day's wages. You know, doing the right thing and doing it well. You can probably accept that for truth. But if you're like me, you've made more than your fair share of wisecracks about the three guys leaning on their brooms and shovels idly, while the one guy's working hard, digging with a pickaxe down in the holes. Nothing new about these things. Maybe some comment about our tax dollars at work with a grudging tone in your voice. Now, I admit it, I've spoken these things myself. But lately, I've been thinking about why I'm so ready to just lump everybody together. So I start thinking that maybe it's because, as humans, it's what we seem to do first quite often. Think of the worst-case scenarios as the examples we refer to. Now, there are plenty of those shovel-leaning types out there among the men at work, and the truth is, they stick out like a sore thumb. I wonder if one of the reasons we're so prone to so much cynicism out on life's roads might be due to the bad examples that have gone before us. I think it could be more a fault of the system they've been brought into. Sort of like the broom man says, "That's not my job, I only have to sweep, and I don't do pickaxe work." And the shovel man says, "Man, I don't sweep, I only have to shovel." The machine operator says, "I don't do anything except drive this here machine. No hand tools for me." Men at work. Now, I know that they're not all lazy people. I know that there are plenty of good, conscientious men at work out there. And ladies, too. I just need to remember that the bad examples that I see don't speak for the whole lot of them. One bad example sure has a way of sticking right there at the front of my memory banks, though. You know, as Christians, we have a call to go out and do some road work of our own. The command is to go out to the highways and byways, compel folks to get ready for the return of the Lord. We are men at work, in a manner of speaking. And we all know that means women at work, too. Just a commonly accepted generic term, men at work. And I wonder if one of the reasons we've run into so much cynicism out on life's roads are due to the bad examples that have gone before us in the Christian realms. I think it might be more a fault of the system we've been brought into. Sort of like, you know, three Christians standing there in a little truck stop chapel, leaning on their Bibles, talking about loving their neighbors as themselves, while some poor fellow sits outside the truck stop cafe, looking like he hasn't had a decent meal in a few days. Meanwhile, one conscientious person digs into his pocket to see what he can dig out of there to come with to buy that man a meal. Or maybe we see those three Christians leaning on their Bibles, watching some driver struggling to slide his axles as it starts to rain. One Christian says, "I'm an evangelist." And another says, "I'm a preacher. My job is to teach," says another one. But in the midst of all that "it's not my job" thinking, there's always that one, like the one who's down in the hole working hard. He looks at that fellow trying to slide those stubborn axles and he says, "There's an opportunity to show the love of God." Now, if you think these folks don't take in that picture of the three leaning on their Bibles and hold it right there in the front of their memory banks, you might want to rethink that one a little. Men at work. It's making me think about a verse. It's from Colossians chapter 3. The translation I recall says it like this: "Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men." Well, it may not feel like it's our job to feed that person standing outside the diner or help the fellow in the rain. So don't do it for men's sake. Do it for the Lord's sake. I guess where I'd like to end up with all of this is, as long as you have a choice in the matter, always try to be the one that sets the conscientious, hard-working example. Never let yourself be counted in that group standing idly by. And who knows? Might start turning that cynicism around. Start making the highways and byways a little better to travel on. What do you think?
distractions and troubles to hinder my walk. But my house has been built on the rock. And I built my house where it's held in God's hands, made by His Spirit, enduring it stands. Guards as the shepherd abides o'er the flock. And I built my house on the rock. My house was once foolishly built on the sand. When it was shaken, it could not withstand. Father of lies held the key to the lock. Till I built my house on the rock. And I built my house where it's held in God's hands, made by His Spirit, enduring it stands. Guards as the shepherd abides o'er the flock. And I built my house on the rock. The message contained in this parable song, the house is my life and to God it belongs. The rock's none but Jesus, He's in control. My life was for nothing till He saved my soul. And I built my house where it's held in God's hands, made by His Spirit, enduring it stands. Guards as the shepherd abides o'er the flock. And I built my house on the rock.
Israel is currently fighting off rocket attacks and preparing for a new surge of attacks that will most likely follow along with the coming May 15th second flotilla. The groups of people and ships that will once again attempt to break the blockade that Israel has set up to monitor and search incoming vessels that could be carrying anything from bombs to terrorists with weapons of all sorts of destruction. I believe that increased military moves along the Gaza Strip could be part of the overall strategy against Israel. They could well be coordinated with this flotilla, a supposedly peaceful attempt to break through the blockade into Gaza. The world continues to look at Israel as the problem, as opposed to the people that continue to kill innocent men and women and children in public places in the name of Allah. We hear the news reports of new rocket attacks upon Israel and their army's response to terrorists, and we just continue about our daily business as though it's just another news story that has no effect upon us. I see the news reports of these increasing conflicts as the single most compelling example of end time matters. We have progressive radicals from America that will be on some of those boats, along with scores of other Jewish-hating individuals. Israel has vowed and notified the world that it will stop this flotilla, and I quote, at any cost, unquote. I believe that we're going to see attempts to incite Israeli defense forces into violence so that Israel can be made to look like the aggressors. And I believe that we're going to see some innovative attempts on the part of Israel to stop the forward motion of these ships without taking lives. But no matter how careful and wise the Israeli government attempts are, Satan is driving the force behind these godless people, and he's going to ensure that lives are lost, or at least that people fall into harm's way. As a result, I think that Israel will soon come under attack by a growing horde of antagonists, and something will need to break. I don't hold out much hope that our current administration has even the slightest desire to do the right thing by supporting Israel, as God has advised many a wise nation to do. Here's the word of the Lord on the matter, just to clarify what I'm referring to. This is God's spoken truth, a God principle that says, honor God's sovereignty by blessing Israel. Genesis 12:3 says,
I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you.
Genesis 27:29 tells us,
cursed be everyone who curses you, blessed be everyone who blesses you.
Psalm 126:6 has this to say,
pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love you will prosper.
This principle has been operating throughout all history. It's going to have great significance during the Great Tribulation and then during the transitional period. Since the time of Abraham, Balaam prophesied over Israel before the Moabite king Balak. In the book of Numbers, chapter 24, verse 9, we have this.
Blessed be everyone who blesses you. Cursed be everyone who curses you.
The entire world is growing further and further away from this godly principle and closer to the prophetic time when nobody stands with Israel.
It will happen in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem.
Well, that was from Zechariah 12. If you go on to read Zechariah 14, you'll see that the Lord himself is the one who destroys the enemies who attack Israel. Now, I do not maintain that the coming events of this flotilla and worldwide organized strikes and protests that are being planned are part of the biblical event itself. But I do maintain that these coordinated events are taking us on a very, very fast train to the day that these things explode out of control. Israel is constantly on this edge of life and fulfillment of prophetic promises. By the time that this second quarter release reaches many of you, it will be past May 15th, and I have certainly thrown my hat over the fence on this one. Keep your ears and eyes open as the month unfolds. See how much closer we as a world move into line with that time when nobody stands with Israel. Because when we get there, there's no returning from the judgment of God against those nations that turn their backs on His chosen people. Pray. Pray, I urge you, that God will stay the hand of the world and keep our generation, our children's generation, from being the ones that abandon Israel. This has been a real mixed bag for me this time around. I had so much I wanted to get to that was closer to the lighter side of life. But we're not in a time that allows us the luxury of putting off serious things. And these are indeed serious times. The world as a whole just wants to go to the movies, listen to their iPods, have a good burger and an ice cream cone. Enjoy their children and their grandchildren. Heck, I want to do those things. And we all keep trying to do just that. Work hard, love true, keep the faith as we go along life's road. I would be so happy to to return next quarter and say that these things are turning around and the world of wars and rumors of wars is fading away. I'd be so glad to turn our attention to other, less serious kinds of matters. But I'm not anywhere near convinced that this will be the case. The birth pains of this world are increasing. We need to mature in our gifts and our calling in Christ Jesus if we want to have any kind of sane life as things get worse. Now, if you've listened all the way through this Highways and Byways for the second quarter, and you hear my voice at this moment, and if for some reason you're not at a place of peace inside the deepest levels of your heart and mind and soul, that you're in a right standing with your Creator, Jesus Christ, there is no better time than this very moment to stop the running and invite the King of Kings to save your soul from an eternity separated from God. That's the best description I know of to identify what hell is like: the total separation and absence of the one who gives us the very air that we breathe. But the real motivation to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive your sins and save you, is the reality of what it brings you into, that right standing relationship. Right into the everlasting arms of the Lord. He's prepared a place for you in heaven. Hell was created for Satan and his fallen ones, not for you, not for me. Don't let the enemy of your soul drag you down with him and his fallen minions. Take a few moments, have a talk with God, and ask Jesus to do what only he can do: wash away your sins, make you whiter than snow. And that's exactly how your Heavenly Father is going to see you from the moment that you make that prayer till the day that Jesus calls you home. So pray that prayer, become part of the family of God, and then call the voicemail line or send an email or call the distribution phone number on the front of this CD and have a talk with Storyteller. That way we know we have a new member in the family.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. By hearing his word, your faith gets its wings. Lead me to seek mercy's kingdom. Till you know Jesus, you don't know a thing. Don't tell me you're just not ready. Don't tell me your trust, knowledge, or will. Don't tell me I'm just being petty. Don't tell me just convince yourself.
What a joy and privilege it is for me to bring this Highways and Byways project to you. It is my sincere hope and prayer that we have served to make you think a little, encouraged you a bit, challenged some, and even provide a few moments of joy, a little smile thrown in for good measure. Now it's time for me to wrap this all up somehow, and maybe the best way is to remind you that there's a 24-hour voicemail line as well as a phone number for our director of distribution. He's out in Ohio. That would be Storyteller. You can call him Danny if you're calling to talk about the Lord with him. Or if you want to get involved with helping us distribute Highways and Byways, he's the one that you'll have to convince if you really feel that the Lord wants you to be a highway minister for Highways and Byways. Other reasons to call in or write would be to ask a spiritual or a Bible-related kind of question as you call into the voicemail line or write into the Highways and Byways address. We do enjoy answering them when they come in. You might have a prayer request. We have dedicated prayer warriors who will join you in carrying your petition to the throne room of God. And you might call into that free voicemail line just to give us a praise report that God provided remedy to your circumstance. Okay, one more thing, I think. Just before the release of this second quarter, Highways and Byways, I completed a very special House of Prayer Ministries End Time Update. It's identified as the End Time Update for April 2011. It's special because I sensed a need to lay out some very basic preparation strategies for what I believe is around the proverbial corner. I see a full-scale economic collapse on the way, and soon. Oh, they're propping up and posturing, putting a good face on it as much as they're able, but the collapse of the United States dollar is inevitable. There's a huge push for a new world currency, and it isn't going to be the United States dollar. We had our day in the sun, and we as a nation have not been responsible with that choice privilege. So, this Get Prepared edition of House of Prayer Ministries End Time Update is available online by going to the web address on the front of the CD and following the links to the Highways and Byways audio archives. The House of Prayer Ministry audio productions are in the same location. And while you're there, you'll be able to grab some of the other free audio productions from the archives. You'll be able to go back and see what I was babbling about in 2004. See if I was closer to reality or just conspiracy talk. It's all right with me. Now, if you cannot, any way under the sun, get somebody to download this latest End Time update from iTunes or mypodcast.com or from the website at www.highwaymag.com. That's highwaymag.com. Then call Storyteller and ask him for a copy. He'll send one out to you because he rolls like that. He's always willing to go the extra mile for another fellow traveler out there on the highways and the byways. All right, till next time, should the Lord tarry long enough, may God smile upon all that you set your heart and hands to do, and especially those things that you set your heart and hands to do for others.